I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were involved.
You were.
You
are racist.
He said he was.
You are very racist.
He said he was.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, April 5th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It's a bumpy ride. It's a wild and dystopic ride. But this is where we gather to commiserate a bit and shine a bright light on the gaslighting and things like that that make it very strange. What is happening is very strange. And it's Friday. Usually I like to try to keep it light. We try to do the phones, focus on that. But you know, Monday is doomsday and the end of the world, so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. A lot of weird stuff going on. Should we expect wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence and famine as a result of, you know, the X eclipse? I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, but not in a fear-mongering fashion, hopefully in a more loving sort of way. And so we'll see where that goes. In any case, before I get ahead of myself, a couple of things. The prayer or prayers, it's sort of it's a prayer of prayers, really. But that and the announcements real quick. Maybe a couple of things on that. And so without further ado, since we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places, the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God, Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, respectively. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers, or our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, and take up the sword of the Spirit, and pray at all times in the Spirit. I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper, that all who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land, and poisonous trees and their offshoots, like brands and agencies conceived in malice, would collapse under the weight of their own evil. In Jesus' name, amen. All prayers are not created equal. Andrew Huberman prays, but to what or to whom? And you know what? Maybe as a bit of encouragement, I don't know. Maybe it's encouraging to you. It should be. I hope it is. Definitely encouraging to me. There were the 12 spies that were sent into the promised land to spy it out. There were two that came back with a faithful report. And the two were Caleb and Joshua. And Joshua was a faithful servant of the Lord from beginning to end. So when I pray, I'm praying to the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of the Old Testament, Torah and Tanakh, who also, not the Talmudic God, that's a different deal, but the God, the Lord God Almighty, the God who brought the Israelites, not the Israelis, but the Israelites out of Egypt, and he kept reminding of them of that, because Egypt represents so much more symbolically than just Egypt. So, you know, brought them out of all of this bondage and all of this, you know, stuff, idolatry, just every evil worldly thing, and delivered them. And Joshua was a faithful servant in that process, which is a beautiful thing. So if you get to the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua says, well, it reads starting in chapter 23, verse 1. Now, it came about after, and the reason that this is important, I think, is because, you know, since January, I've raised this issue and said that I'm going to come back and focus on it. It's April. I need to hurry up and do that. It's April already, for Pete's sake. Good grief. So January, February, March, April. You got to get busy, man. You need to have like a series on that, because it's really important. But if you understand, well, I think I can share this. I've mentioned Joyce's emails a couple of times. Joyce sends me this email this morning. Haven't responded yet. Working on it. Trying to be better about that. I'm in the process, but actually I'm in the process of responding to the last exchange that we had. So this one should be easy, though. So Joyce sends me subject Joe Moorcraft sermons at DuckDuckGo. This is a search. And so Joyce sends me, "Hi, Chris, my friend Betty McGinnity, recently deceased, introduced me to Joe Moorcraft. I happened upon this lecture about the thinking of the American founders and thought you might find it interesting, Joyce." So first of all, thank you, Joyce. Much appreciated. I'm interested in checking that out. I think that's the link, I think, is supposed to be I'm not exactly sure what DuckDuckGo is doing there, but it looks like it's a search based on a certain video. I haven't pulled the URL apart yet. It's a DuckDuckGo link with a YouTube video in it and other videos. So I'm going to look at that. But I think it's the playlist at the Christian Sermons and Audiobooks YouTube channel. I think this is about the playlist or the series 1 through 6, titled The American Mind in 1776, Joe Moorcraft Lecture on American History. So there are six videos published between 6 and 7 months ago. And what do you know? They're, you know, the first one is viewed about 3,300 times, something like that. Then 1,800, 1,200, 1,200, 932, 964. Not, you know, not nearly as many views as Andrew Huberman's stuff. I wonder why that is, you know. Ye shall be as gods versus surrender, you know, submit yourselves to the Lord. So this is important stuff. This is, you know, to know where you came from is to know where you are and know where you're headed. All those old cliches. That's why this is important. You know, we hear a certain thing in America, and to really know the story, to really unravel it, and to know what's really going on here, I think sets your feet firmly on the ground and makes you very dangerous to an agenda that is hiding in plain sight but doesn't want you to know that it exists. You know, again, Charles Baudelaire, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. So, will you believe the lie? Isaiah, what is it, chapter 5, I believe? Woe to them who put good for evil and evil for good, light for dark, dark for light, etc. So Joshua 23, now it came about after, and the same goes for America. If we want to presume that it's a Christian nation, the same goes for, you know, this is a whole different can of worms I'm not going to get into. And I'm going to just drop this snowflake on the tip of the iceberg. But it'd be the same thing if we could say that this thing that I would call a counterfeit, a biblical counterfeit called Israel, if there was any legitimacy there, you know, it's a one-state solution, and it's not the occupational thing that's been happening since before the Balfour Declaration. That's what it is. Because even the Balfour Declaration clearly says, you know, it's not a two-state solution. That's ridiculous. It's a one-state solution. Now I'll really get in trouble. And it's not the occupational thing. It's not the Zog trying to gobble up the whole world. Anyway, Balfour Declaration, what does it say? Dear Lord Rothschild. Well, that's probably the first problem. From the British Foreign Office. Signed Arthur James Balfour, but wait, Quigley says, not so fast. That's in there, right? That's in the Wikipedia entry, I believe. Anglo-American Establishment, Georgetown University History Professor Carol Quigley explains his view that Lord Milner was the primary author of the Declaration. More recently, William D. Rubenstein, professor of modern history at Aberystwyth University, Wales, proposed Amory instead. Hunnity wrote that Ormsby Gore, in a report he prepared for Schuckburg, claimed authorship together with Amory. And, you know, this is interesting because it's the Rhodes-Milnerian roundtable groups, whatever it is, it's the shadowy group of intriguers and Balfour as the sort of guy on this side of the curtain representing those interests, puts his John Hancock on it, you know. But whatever the case, it's probably most assuredly not attributed to Arthur James Balfour. It's these other shadowy guys. It's all weird. I mean, think about it. You get together with, I don't know, half dozen of your friends or so, about a half dozen, and you guys decide with some other shadowy, spooky types that are very powerful and influential. They command wealth. They own the money printing or the currency printing presses that are used to you know, let's just say acquire, to put it in a genteel sort of fashion, acquire, air quotes, property and, you know, things of that nature. It's the capital that goes out and seizes the world. Capital in, you know, a Marxist sort of fashion. Anyway, so, dear Lord Rothschild, blah, 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 His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. Blah, blah, blah. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. As much of a put-up job as much of a fable as Lawrence of Arabia is, if you watch it, it's easy to see what kind of British intrigue was going on at the time and what interests were sort of operating behind the scenes to guide and steer, influence, you know, let it happen on purpose, help it happen on purpose, make it happen on purpose if need be. So this is all sort of, you know, I'm a little far afield, but it's important. These blessings are the same as they were when Joshua said these words. Anyway, continuing, Joshua 23. Now it came about after many days, and there's, what is it, Leviticus 26, I think, and Deuteronomy 28, I think, are the two big chapters. If you, I will. If you don't, yeah, that's not going to go well. Now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders. And I think you see a hinting of something that I've talked about before anyway. Continuing. Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. Why? Because they're fantastic? No, because he's fantastic. That's why. They're not Zionists. You've seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. There you go. He's the one doing it. Who's doing the fighting these days? You know, when Candace Owens is asked by, what's his name? I don't even want to say his name. You know what I'm talking about. Is this the most, you know, is this a particularly evil thing that goes beyond other things? My answer would be something like, I'm not even sure what we can say about this, because we know that, you know, for example, Israeli Mossad and Israeli intelligence operations, and historically the things that have gone on with these groups are just layers of intrigue and deception. I mean, have we forgotten the liberty already in our own history here in America? So what can we know? We know that there is an effort usually to use deception to create a certain perception that is erroneous in order to basically put hooks in our jaws and lead us to a conflict. So, you know, my answer would be, I don't think so. First of all, I wouldn't say there's something special or especially evil about that, because I don't know enough about it to speak to it. Do I believe that people organized an attack over a period of years and wore GoPros as they did it? No, I don't believe that. I think that was a sensationalist deal that was done to create a reaction. It's terrorism as theater is what it is. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You know what I'm talking about, the Candace Owens, Michael Barkley deal, you know, his question, whatever it was. Do you think this is exceptionally evil, whatever? You know, terrorism as theater is a thing. We've talked about that on this broadcast. But, you know, again, most people don't think in Machiavellian terms. So they don't understand that. This is like, you know, you want to talk about first principles, understand that there are certain folks that think like Machiavelli. Like, this is the handbook, man. If you want to This is what you do. And then, so think about that. You know, if there are people who think that way, this is how they operate, which is very counterintuitive, because we all think that everyone else thinks like us, operates like us. We all, you know, we're fallible, we make mistakes, but we're all trying to do better each day and generally speaking, you and I, when we wake up, we do not think, you know, we're not wringing our hands trying to find clever ways to enslave the whole world. That is a perversion of the command to subdue the earth, not your fellow man. So it's kind of like someone who you know, it's like a Bobby Fischer playing chess with somebody who doesn't even know that rules of chess exist, let alone knows the rules. How can that person possibly even play chess? And there's the argument that, you know, playing chess is the communitarian way, dear comrades. I'm just saying, in a certain context, if you don't know that there's a game afoot and rules are being followed, however evil they may be, then it's hopeless. You know, I used to say it's like playing checkers at a chess match, but it's worse than that, even. I probably shouldn't even mention this, but I will. Then I'll get back to my point. I saw, where is that? Jordan Maxwell. These two laws govern the entire world, the law of the land and the law of the sea. There's a certain reality to that. You even read about that in the Bible. I wouldn't advocate people go down a mystical, magical rabbit hole, but, you know, this kind of thing, basically. The idea that rules are being followed. I remember, 2006? Phyllis Schlafly and the Eagle Forum doing commercials on the Law of the Sea Treaty and why Reagan rejected it and so on and so on. So, you know, same kind of thing that most of us have never even heard of, which is curious. Now, Phyllis Schlafly obviously is a CNP person, and there is the dominionist aspect of all of that. You know, is it the revived crusades? They don't realize they're bringing hell on earth. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not trying to go down rabbit holes. I'm just saying there are these things, these rules that, you know, Jordan Maxwell has a point. These two laws govern the entire world, the law of the land and the law of the sea. And, you know, you think of the high water mark, you think of Revelation chapters 17 and 18, chapter 18 in particular in this case. Anyway, I'm getting a field. It's what I do, you know. So deal with it. Just kidding. I'll finish my point when we come back and we'll move on. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Tahi Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome back. Now we're cooking with fire. Well done, sir. Jordan Maxwell, these two laws govern the entire world, the law of the land, the law of the sea. Alan Steinfeld, host of New Realities. The late Jordan Maxwell discussed symbols. Daniel Estulin, highly acclaimed documentary Bilderberg, available on Gaia. This channel is managed by Zohar Entertainment Group UK, Zohar Entertainment Group International Inc., etc., etc., etc. Wow, nothing to see there. That's definitely the the road to hell. Packaged in a fancy Western esoteric, very, you know, exciting package. Well, don't do that. I'm just trying to make a point. Anyway, Joshua was a faithful servant. The same rules apply today. And there's a point. I think this is a Good Friday point. Before I finish this, though, bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Friday, April 5th, 2024, I did the prayer. I didn't do the other thing, the announcements. Let me do that. Nah, let me do this first, because I have an idea. So, the same rules apply today. They always have. It's always been the same. Joshua knew that. So, Joshua called for all Israel, for the elders, their elders. Again, this is, you know, he called for the Israelites, not the Israelis. Well, what's the difference? You start reading guys like Arthur Kessler and you think, not so fast. And, you know, speaking of Kessler, see, this is what I do. I get a field. How many people know about, he was fairly prolific. But how many people actually know about Kessler? You know, if you look into his pedigree, he's a formidable intellect and literary. So, and he has some personal experience in the matter. And I think, you know, when you look at what was being published, like the 13th Tribe was published in 76. And, I mean, Quigley was told that Tragedy and Hope was a miserable failure. Nobody, you know, but it sold out pretty much instantly. And they broke the plates so that, you know, even though it was in his contract that he was supposed to get the plates, pretty obvious what was going on there. And the Anglo-American establishment, which has a curious cover. I've talked about that many times. What's with that cover? You don't know what I'm talking about. Look it up. That was published posthumously. Why do you suppose that is? And Kessler's book, The 13th Tribe, was published in 76. And then he and his wife, Cynthia, committed suicide together. Wink, wink. Drug overdose. So, you know. But it was a long time. It wasn't like it happened instantly. Well, we talked about Martin Luther King yesterday and on the anniversary of his assassination and how, I mean, it's just an established fact of history at this point that the James Earl Ray story is an entire fabrication. And it is the Streisand effect, actually, in full effect, because there's this effort to hide what came out in the Jowers trial in particular and say these things didn't happen that, or, you know, I mean, is that which yeah, let me see if this is where that is in Wikipedia. Let's see, the Lloyd Jowers trial, officially the King versus Lloyd Jowers and other unknown conspirators, was an American wrong. This is even Wikipedia. American wrongful death civil suit brought by the family of Martin Luther King Jr. against Lloyd Jowers following his claims of a conspiracy in the assassination, and this, you know, a conspiracy in and the assassination of the civil rights leader is linked to the Wikipedia entry, Martin Luther King Jr., assassination conspiracy theories. I'll get to that in a second. The jury would eventually decide in 1999 that there was a conspiracy perpetrated by Jowers and other conspirators, including various United States government agencies, to murder King and frame James Earl Ray as a patsy. After watching Ray's HBO mock trial on TV, Jowers produced his confession and claimed that he was part of a larger conspiracy to assassinate King and frame Ray as a patsy. He also claimed that Raoul, Memphis police officers, and the mafia had been involved. Jowers named Memphis Police Lieutenant Earl Clark as the shooter. That's on Wikipedia, for Pete's sake. But then at the same time, you got this Wikipedia entry. Well, you got the, you know, the official assassination of King Wikipedia entry. Assassination of Martin Luther King, which, you know, tells the James Earl Ray story, lone gunman. It's patently false. This is cognitive dissonance. And the Streisand effect, the truth hiding in plain sight, and the more you try to cover it up, the more obvious you make it. Martin Luther King Jr. assassination conspiracy theories. These are three separate Wikipedia entries that, you know, one of these things is not like the other. Conspiracy theories about the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., a prominent leader of the civil rights movement, relate to different accounts of the incident that took place on April 4, 1968. King was assassinated on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel the day after giving his final speech, "I've Been to the Mountaintop." Claims soon arose over suspect aspects of King's assassination and the controversial role of alleged assassinant James Earl Ray. Although his guilty plea eliminated the possibility of trial before jury within days, Ray had recanted. So, you know, is it this one? Which Wikipedia entry says that to avoid the death penalty? Yeah, so it's this one. They probably all do, but under the section James Earl Ray, background, James Earl Ray, on April 24, Ray obtained a Canadian passport, blah, blah, blah. On March 10, 1969, Ray pleaded guilty to murdering King, receiving a 99-year prison sentence without trial. His plea saved him from the likelihood of the death penalty. So that's what happens with these guys. If you listen to the stories of guys like James Earl Ray, Sirhan Sirhan, you know, this is what happens. They have the, you know, the attorney who's, you know, defense attorney who's more like the prosecuting attorney, who's the, you know, in on the deal basically. And he says, "Look, man, it looks really bad. Think about it. Nobody's going to believe you. You should just cop a plea deal and avoid the death penalty." But, you know, so that's what they do so that the evidence doesn't come out. So things like the Jowers trial don't happen. So guys like William Pepper don't go digging. Anyway, although his guilty plea eliminated the possibility of trial before a jury within days, Ray had recanted and claimed his confession was forced. Suspicions were further raised by the confirmation of illegal surveillance of King by the FBI and the CIA and the FBI's attempt to prompt King to commit suicide. And then, of course, you know, the FBI's attempt to prompt King to commit suicide is linked to the FBI King suicide letter. Most people would be like, what? You got to be kidding me. Yeah, as featured in the New York Times in 2014. So the question then arises, well, where did that come from? And my best answer would be, ask John Judge. This was part of yesterday's discussion, the stuff that was left on the cutting room floor that I didn't really get to. But there are two excerpts. Maybe we should do that today, actually. Two clips. Now we're running short on time again in this segment. And I still haven't even finished my point and got to the other thing. Do you know who John Judge is? The late, great John Judge. So let's start here. That's good. Well, where did we go? Yeah, there we go. Got a clippy clip coming your way, sir. In a hot second. So we'll go. This is, I should be right. 317. Something. Hopefully we can skip this break. The clip that we're going to play is from Talking Stick TV YouTube channel. And the John Judge clip is titled Talk-John Judge-A Talk About 9/11. We played this a million times before. John Judge, founder of Coalition on Political Assassinations, COPA, co-founder of 9/11 Citizenswatch.org. This talk was originally given, it was given at the University of Washington Ethnic Cultural Center back on February 12, 2002. So, where did this documentation on the assassination of King come from? Well, let's let the expert speak to that issue. John Judge is unsurpassed when it comes to this kind of subject matter. So we'll let him speak. Okay, go ahead, sir.
In those neoliberal countries. So as Bush likes to say, you're either with us or against us. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. I don't know how many of you saw the Seattle Times today. There's a little photograph of a demonstration. They're carrying this flag that has a skull and crossbones on it. And the text says, as protesters, some claiming to back the Earth Liberation Front, march in Portland yesterday, ELF spokesman Craig Rosenbaum refused to answer questions before a House subcommittee on forests. The FBI's top terror expert, James Jarboe, testified that the ELF is the nation's largest and most active terrorist group. So an environmentalist group is now the nation's largest and most active terrorist group. And they're framing that debate in a way that any group that stands up to them can be so classified. And since we're in a war on terrorism, they are the new enemy. Of course, realistically and objectively, the American population are the long-standing enemy of most of this system anyway. Outside of a small group at the top of that structure, we are the enemy and have been the enemy for some time. We're the last enemy, and we're the enemy that they fear the most. Because for the most of the other countries in the world, those countries are not in a position to do anything about the agenda of these global corporations or to stand in the way of the tremendous military might that the United States has built up here for whatever purpose it wants to use it in, however many countries it wants to use it. It's telling you it's going into a 10-year war, a war that won't end in your lifetime, a war with 60 different countries, a war with whatever countries they decide to put on the list, and obviously with whatever organization internally they want to put on the list. Just before September the 11th, I had been working with Cynthia McKinney's office, and we had arranged at the Congressional Black Caucus National Legislative Meeting, an annual meeting that they have, to have a brain trust panel, as they call them. Each Congress member as part of the caucus gets to arrange the topic. And I had helped her get a panel of experts on the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I had been working for some time to get the files loose concerning the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. I had been part of a group that got the law passed in 1992 to release the John F. Kennedy files. And that Records Act set up an independent review board, and we have gotten to date 6 million pages loose on the John F. Kennedy assassination. It's the largest release of classified documents in history because it did not follow the pattern of the Freedom of Information Act, which was not releasing documents to us. From 1964 to 1994, we got about 2,000 pages out on JFK under the FOIA. From 94 to 98, 6 million. So we know that there's at least 600,000 to 700,000 pages on the King assassination that were locked up by the Congressional Investigative Committee in the 70s, the House Select Committee on Assassination. Carl Stokes, the chairman, and the counsel, Mr. Blakey, agreed to adopt a House rule that for 50 years locks up those documents, in other words, till 2026. We didn't want to wait that long, and we also felt that there were documents in there that related to the program that we think was primarily responsible for the murder of Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King, that was the FBI's COINTELPRO program, or counterintelligence program, that targeted civil rights and anti-war activists. Unfortunately, after September the 11th, everybody's agenda changed and the panel was canceled. But we were on the verge of introducing a new piece of legislation that would have tracked the JFK Act to get the King records loose and the COINTELPRO files as part of the record of the King assassination, because it doesn't have to be just what happened the day of the assassination. We did sue in court on the Freedom of Information Act and get a 30-page document loose after 2 years of struggle with the Army intelligence that revealed for the first time that Operation Lantern Spike and the 111th Military Intelligence Group of the U.S. Army were in Memphis on the days prior to and after the King assassination and were spying directly on Dr. Martin Luther King. Lantern Spike was part of Garden Plot. Garden Plot was a counter-descent operation that was run by the military, had martial law plans connected to it, internment plans for black Americans, fell under its rubric, and so we got that piece loose, but we wanted to get the full scope of the COINTELPRO files loose. Now, in the subsequent period, Attorney General Ashcroft has said that he wants to reinstitute COINTELPRO, that he wants to start spying again on groups not involved in criminal activities but who are involved in protest or dissent activities. So that's, you know, one of the results of that is, I'll bet if we did some background on who this James Jarbo character is that says they're the most terrorist group, that he goes back into the history of the FBI COINTELPRO program that came out of two guys named Cartha Deke Deloach and William Sullivan in the FBI that came to the FBI from the Office of Naval Intelligence in the 1940s and worked with Hoover. They also said that after September 11th, they want to unleash the CIA, that the CIA has been operating under these tremendous shackles that were put on it because of the Church Committee in the 1970s. And so they want to let it loose to do whatever it wants and needs to do, including assassination, to restore its ability for them to assassinate people abroad. And the CIA expert that they interviewed on CNN the first week, amusingly to me, said, they're misled. We don't need those authorities. Well, what they're saying is they don't need them because they go ahead and do the stuff anyway, and they're better off doing it with the deniability that it's illegal than to do it, make it legal, and then be blamed for it when they do it. But we're basically, I think, in down to two paths now. I mean, we can go down this nightmare path of this warfare against basically people of color all over the world under the guise that we're somehow going to stop terrorism.
Yeah, we went a little long, but I mean, you can see it's an honest mistake there. Fantastic stuff. We probably have time to squeeze in. I mean, you want to just keep playing that for another minute or two, because that's a great point. Can you back that up a couple of seconds?
People of color all over the world, under the guise that we're somehow going to stop terrorism, when in fact what we're doing is extending terrorism in the wars. Or we can take a path where we decide that we're going to build a new world. Because the way you stop terrorism is not by bombing people. It's not by fighting back against terrorism. That isn't the way it works. I mean, Mr. Batista could tell you that, were he still alive. The way his government fell down was that Castro, with a much smaller force, would goad him. Batista would over-respond. He would lose the popular support. Popular support would go to the enemy that he was attacking, and eventually build up into a force strong enough that it eroded his authority. So, I mean, you want an example of, you know, how well violence works in response to so-called terrorism? Because terrorism just means an asymmetrical force. You know, it means that you've got a smaller force that doesn't have the capability to go against in open warfare. The same as for the British colonial army, the U.S. irregulars that fought in the revolution here would have been terrorists. I mean, it just means that there's an imbalance of force. There may be a difference in tactics as well, but most of that comes out of the imbalance of force. And terrorism only arises, I mean, a small group being violent in order to accomplish that end only arises historically after a long string of abuse, a long string of injustice, where people feel abused. And then, because most of the human community knows that violence, even though it might eventually bring some sort of change, also has a tremendous cost. Not just to the people that are being attacked, but to the people carrying out the violence. And so, generally, people are reluctant to be violent, even in an untenable situation. I mean, there were intermittent revolts against slavery, but slavery lasted for hundreds of years without everyone suddenly rising up and being violent. So people will take a lot of abuse before they'll get to the point where they'll give sanction or sanctuary or support to somebody being violent on their behalf. Well, I think it's just common sense that if you want to stop that violence from happening, you have to get back to the root of the injustice that it grows out of. I mean, an example here would be the militia. The militia have the same agenda as what we call terrorists in some other country, would use the same tactics. Do they have any popular support? Not for the most part, because most people, especially the people that the militia
surround.
All right,
that was John Judge. I could listen to him all day. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.